Welcome to Making Sense. It's the podcast for people who want financial freedom without giving up their coffee, supported by our friends at Kiwi Bank. I'm Frances Cook, a financial journalist and fellow financial freedom seeker who makes money simple for you. Now, you will definitely recognize the name of today's guest, JJ Feeney, who was on the airwaves across New Zealand for 33 years. It's a radio career that many would kill for, except she decided to chuck it all in and launch a business instead, taking all of that radio knowledge, channeling it into what she sees as the future for audio, podcasting. Problem being, she's the first to admit that she's not naturally a business person, and the business side of it does need to work. So she decided to team up with someone she trusted, her ex-husband, fellow former radio host Dom Harvey. Now, the ex is not who most people would go into business with, but JJ and Dom are not like most former couples. They decided that trust and their continuing friendship was the most important foundation to build their business on. They've got practice because they've actually never really bothered to separate their finances, just the romantic relationship. So the business parts, they figured they could also work out together. So back to the new business, and it's a tricky one because it's a physical business, a podcast studio where others can come to record their podcasts. That means you need equipment, physical studio space, staff. Your base costs are quite high, so you'd better get some customers to come and pay for all of that and make this work. So this episode, we're digging in to the real talk. Did she have savings in place to walk away from that dream job? What's the plan if the new business doesn't take off? And how long is she giving herself to make this thing profitable? Let's go.
Making Sense is on a mission to make money simple, and I just couldn't do that without the support of Kiwi Bank. It's really important to me to only work with companies that understand that mission and the difference it makes when you understand the money world. For Kiwi Bank, their purpose is to help Kiwi and Aotearoa be better off. So bringing you real stories of inspirational and unconventional approaches to finance is one of the ways they're making a real difference to the lives of their customers. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi.
For anyone who is watching the video, they're going to know this already. Maybe for the people who are listening, they can hear a slight difference in how I sound. Maybe new mics. But we are in the glorious Pod Lab, which is your new spot, your new venture.
Yeah.
And I just love this. You had a career for so long that was a career people would kill for. Top of your game in radio.
Yeah.
And everyone knew you, JJ Feeney.
Yeah.
The name everyone knows. Mm. And you left it all and you're here now in this glorious podcast studio. So tell me, let's start there. When did you feel the itch of, I might want to do something different?
Probably about 7 years ago.
Yeah.
No, well, first of all, I just want to say welcome to Pod Lab.
Ah, it's beautiful.
Thank you. It's, yeah, Dom and I, my ex-husband, and best friend, and business partner. God, I just can't get rid of that guy.
Always hanging around.
Yeah. So it was just really timing. Like, I knew in radio that I was sort of a bit over it the last few years, but I have been on the air for 33 years. So
that is a long time.
Yeah. So of course, you know, anyone doing the same thing for 33 years, you're going to get a little bit bored, I suppose. I was thinking about leaving, and in the end, me leaving had nothing to do with PodLab, because it was after I resigned, a week later, this is how crazy the universe is, that this place came up for lease, and Dom said, there's a place down the road, it's got a studio in it. So the bones of the studio were already here, thank goodness, and we've just built it up. Yeah, and I was like, okay. Why not? Like, I was hoping to have a bit of a rest, but why not? You've just got to do it. It's the universe talking to you.
Do you know what? It's really funny because I don't necessarily consider myself a woo girl, but I do actually think that sometimes things just align. There are some moments where you're like, oh, am I a woo girl though? Because I feel like there are things happening here. It's funny because I talk to people a lot about careers and things, right? And obviously you were in a very public career, a very particular type of career. Still though, you were in that career for 33 years. That's a long time. And now I don't know if that happens in any industry now, is the world of work is so much more unstable than it was. The idea of staying in the same industry and it not changing much
kind of feels like that's so in the past. Did you feel a bit unstable as you were coming up to that time to leave, or did you feel like you could have kept going if you wanted?
I will admit that I felt unstable the last probably 5 years. Mm. So up until then, I always felt like I would be okay because, you know, we're rating well and, you know, the boss loves me and I'm doing a good job. But I think the media landscape has changed so much, and it's definitely a lot about making money for the company and less about the people. And there were people being laid off all around me, and some of them didn't make sense. So I did start to feel nervous.
Yeah.
So that sort of played into a part of me getting over it as well, because I was just like, I'm not liking the way that this is going for other people and seeing the things crumble around me. So that led to me also wanting to get out. Yeah, it was stable for the first maybe 28 years. And then after that, nah.
And I feel like this happens a lot. Like, there's digital disruption everywhere and you have to learn new skills, and people do get laid off and you're expected to do new things, but maybe with like not all the resources that you would hope in order to be able to learn this or deliver it. And I feel like it is very particularly happening in media, and I've experienced that too, and it felt awful, but I see it happening all sorts of places, right? And do you think that it's just at that point where you constantly have to play a bit of you're dancing on the head of a pin sometimes, right?
It's the state of the world. It's a scary time for a lot of people. I think I've had it lucky for most of my career. I've been in an industry which I thought was stable, and it was for the most part. But what was your question again? Far out.
I don't know if I really had a question. I kind of just threw something to you.
Oh my God.
Great interviewing.
Alzheimer's. Yeah. Done already.
But it is that thing, right, of, you know, coming towards the tail end of it, you know, were you expected to be social media influencer and doing all these other things and often going out to events? And were you, you know, how many hats were you expecting to wear towards the end?
That's a good point. So for the first 20-odd years, I knew how to do everything. So even when I first started radio, I was panelling, like, you know, pressing the buttons. And then, you know, I got put with a male co-host and he was the one who got to press the buttons because it's a very sexist industry. But anyway, so after a few years of not pressing the buttons and the technology changing in the studio, I wasn't able to do that anymore. So for me to like fill in, I would have to learn the whole desk and then I'd forget it again by the next time I had to fill in. So the technology changed while I was in radio, and it was a bit of a problem for me in terms of I just had to focus on content and nothing technical. But then you learn, you know, social media comes along and you're expected to grow a social media platform, and you have to be, you know, put everything on Instagram, put everything on Facebook. TikTok came along the last few years, right? So I managed to
work the whole other beast. Whole other beast.
Once I left the Edge, I think TikTok came around about that time, and then I went to More FM, so I didn't need TikTok at More FM. Thank goodness. And I still haven't caught on to TikTok, which is probably terrible.
Great for the mental health.
Yeah, yeah. There's many things I had to learn along the way. But then I realised at the end of this, starting a new business, I am learning everything from scratch again, because I was never taught how to run a business, because all I've been doing is being a radio personality my whole life. So I've never had to deal with clients really, except on a fun, hi, I'm the wacky girl on the radio. And now I have to be a bit more serious and corporate, business-like.
And you can trust me with your money, please sponsor me.
Yeah. And we're just like, come and work in our studio. We know what we're talking about. But we're just like, we actually are winging it. I'm an absolute disaster when it comes to finances. I have no education around it. And I'm learning really quickly and mostly from trial and error. What to do and what not to do.
I think that's a big thing that holds people back from business, right? So let's talk about that, because you're leaving the world of being employed and having a salary and great stuff. You felt secure until you didn't. And then you're like, okay, I'm done and I'm going to do something else. Did you know that you wanted to start a business, or were you just like, quit and then, what am I going to do?
Honestly, I thought I'll probably have a little holiday first. Mm-hmm. So I made sure that I had I could survive for say 6 months without being paid. Yeah. I just said to Dom, I'm going to just do some keynote speeches and MC and stuff like that, because I'd been asked to do so many keynote speeches and I've never done one because I haven't had the time to write one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because you get paid quite good money for those. So I thought, I'll just do a few of those. That was, and then I thought, and something will come up, because I'm that sort of person that I will put myself out there and look for the opportunities. But mm-hmm. up until leaving radio, I didn't need to look for any other opportunities. Like I wasn't even using LinkedIn. But all of a sudden I'm on LinkedIn all the time. Now.
I love LinkedIn.
Yeah, you don't need it when you're a radio personality, but when you're a business owner, you definitely do.
I know. That's where all the decision makers are, and especially, you know, people who book events. That's where they all are. So, yeah, you've got to take LinkedIn seriously. When you thought, okay, I'm going, and like you say, you thought, okay, 6 months, I can financially prepare for that. What sort of financial preparation did you make?
I had a little bit of money saved up, and I also had an investment that I could cash in. Nice. So if I got desperate, which is what we have ended up doing to pay for this place.
What was the investment?
AMP.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So like shares.
A retirement savings investment kind of portfolio you just contribute to. Very similar to KiwiSaver.
Right.
They put it on shares and all sorts. But yeah, you're able to cash it up whenever you want. So
there you go.
I did that, thank goodness. A couple of social media posts I get paid for.
Nice.
So that was what I was going to survive on. And that's what I did survive on, because we're not earning any money here at Podlab yet, because we're still not breaking even. You know, it takes a while. Yeah, we're running out of the savings, that's for sure. But the future is bright.
What's the learning curve been like? Because I feel like, especially for someone who's such a creative brain, and I totally identify with this, like, people always expect me to be a spreadsheet girl. Nope. Hard no. And I'm very a creative brain. I'm very like, I know how I want to create content for people. I know how I want to make my podcast work for people. Like all that stuff, fine. And when it came to like, I actually have to be a business owner and I need to have contractors and I need to communicate with them well and not be a dick who leave people hanging. I need to have business processes. I need to have cash flow, invoice people properly. All of that stuff, I was like, like I feel the gears and my brain just grinding. I was like, okay, right. I will be a big girl and do this, but I don't like it. You know, what was that process like for you? And has there been anything that helped you get comfortable with the business processes?
It is so relatable, Frances, what you just said. That is me to a T. I'm a very organized person. And also when I come up with an idea or I want something, I just get it done straight away. Like I don't dilly-dally. And sometimes that can work against me because I've rushed into something too fast. But yeah, when we started out, I'm of the thinking, if you can't do it yourself, outsource it.
Yeah, nice.
So we have, you know, we got a great bookkeeper and, you know, talked to our accountant about all the things I needed to do. So I literally went in there like not knowing a thing. And he's probably thinking I'm asking the stupidest, most basic questions. But he talked us through everything about setting up the business and what we needed to do, etc. We got the bookkeeper. I even got a business mentor who helped us out for the first few weeks. And I need to get back with her a bit more to talk more about money, because my main thing is I don't understand. Like, pricing things is so hard. Like, what value do you put on your time and the product that you're selling and stuff? And Dom and I have been really struggling with that. And it's sort of been up and down and up and down. And you may see fluctuations in our prices over the next few months as we try and figure out what we should be charging for things. We've decided on what things are going to cost and that's what we stick to. But as we have been working in the business, we've realized that we've undercharged for a lot of things. And, you know, particularly like so Dom and I have been creating podcasts for a couple of companies. They're not released yet, so I can't tell you about them. But we've created the entire podcast, the idea, the content. We record the content. We do the producing of the episodes. We do the research. We do the questions. We organize all the guests. We organize the filming, the editing, blah, blah. The whole thing, even the social media posts. And Dom and I have 35 years each experience in radio. We were top of the game. We're very creative. We know how to connect with an audience. And we would normally charge, you know, we could get paid $5,000 to $10,000 to do a single MC gig that's only a couple of hours long, right? So here we're charging like so much less than that to create an entire podcast. And we've realized when we've done this that it's taken so much more of our time.
The hourly role.
About energy. Yeah. And I'm like, you could literally just go and hire someone else from Fiverr and pay them this money and you'll get an average result. But you've got me and Dom recording, making this for you, and it's really good. So we should be charging more money for that. But we didn't back ourselves in terms of like, we know how much we can earn from doing things like this, but the general public still struggles with, they don't care if it's JJ and Dom, they just want someone to do it.
Yeah.
So we've got to try and find the balance between, you've actually got these people who know what they're talking about, because, you know, there's a few podcast studios around, but they're not run by people who are have the creative experience that we have in terms of content.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. We made up this amount, and now as we've been doing it, we've realized, oh, we actually need to charge more for that because we're spending 3 weeks on an episode, you know, and we haven't got much time to do any other work, and you know, so we're working out that balance. That was a really long answer. Sorry.
No, I love it. I love it because it's so real as well. I'd love to dive in a little bit more because, like, I'm sorry if you get this question all the time, but I think it's one of those things, right? People look at the partnership that you and Dom have, and I think it's this very rare thing, right? Like, even when I was, you know, here before and I'm talking to you both and you're talking to each other so respectfully, it's not fake. You're clearly genuinely good mates.
Yeah.
And you were married for ages. You're not, well, you are technically married.
We're technically still married, but.
Yeah.
Paperwork, admin.
Yeah. You have separated, but clearly not in any rush to sort out the admin of it. And you're still very financially entangled, right? Obviously, you run the business together. You still have investments together.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
But we will change that.
Well, will you? Because, like, do you feel any need to?
The only reason why we really feel any need to is because of new partners.
Right.
So, you know, in fairness to them and working out, like, how to separate our lives completely.
Just how long is it since you decided to separate?
That was end of 2017. Wow. We've separated, so it's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
So you're still sort of figuring that out, and you're still thinking, well, we will at some point.
Yeah, if there hasn't been a need or a rush yet.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, it's probably coming up to a time when we should think about it, but it's just another thing on the to-do list.
Got a lot happening.
Like, it's not bad. Like, it works well. This is a strange thing. It's not something I would say to everyone, oh, you should do this. It definitely won't work for everybody at all. And most people will think we're absolutely nuts, but it just works for us.
Well, yeah, honestly, when I even compare it to my own life, like my parents, like, definitely not in your situation. My parents, we had to have an action plan for my wedding, you know? Yeah. So it's like, I think most people's experience of divorce or separation is very different.
Yeah.
And yet here you guys are. Not only do you still talk, you're still very friendly, but this opportunity came up when you're like, actually, we've been separated for years, but should we start a business together? You know, how did you get to that point? And how much does it help the business having this long history together where you clearly know each other very well and there seems to be a lot of trust? Mm. How much does that help the business side of things?
It's crucial.
Yeah.
Because you have to have, you know, we've got a really good, strong relationship. Mm-hmm. And if we didn't, that would be so noticeable to people. And it would be awkward, you know. And that's not the vibe we want to throw off here. The vibe we want to throw off here is, you know, we're all friendly. We're authentic. We are welcoming. We're like a family. If you come and, you know, record at PodLab, you're part of our family. Like, we are so grateful that you've chosen to come here and spend your money here and help us build our business and, you know, that sort of thing. So that relationship that me and Dom have, we're on the same page with that. The relationship we have, we sort of like to encourage other people to join in on. Yeah. You know, we want everyone around us to be like me and Dom, like have that friendship, that relationship where you like each other and you respect each other. And, you know, like, Dom and I have differing opinions on lots of things, but we don't ever have a massive, we never fight or anything. We'll have like a little bit of a bicker and one of us will usually win the argument, might be me, but
he's not in the room, so you can claim it. So I win always.
No, but I respect what he has to say and he respects what I have to say. And I think our relationship is so important to the success of the business.
Just ever run into things where maybe you run into a disagreement in the business or whatever, where it maybe triggers old feelings of like whatever led to the separation in the first place? Do you ever have issues where it might poke a little wounded spot? Or is that
fine? No, we don't. But that's because we never had, like, we didn't have many. This sounds so boring. This sounds so boring, but we had.
Nice, it's wholesome.
We had such a good relationship.
Yeah.
Like, even our marriage was good, and even our separation was good. It was just really about losing a spark between us, right? And so we decided we'll take a little break and see what happens. And we just didn't get back together. So we still have this deep love and respect for each other, but it's not in a sexual way anymore.
Which probably makes the business relationship. You've got all that history and that trust without, you know, weirdness.
Yeah, and so we never had any fights really about money or anything that makes us go back, makes us triggered by anything here. Dom and I are so different when it comes to money. He is way more conservative and tight, and I am not. I'm like, if you've got it, spend it. You know,
you're the spender, he's the saver.
Yes.
There is, it always falls into those camps.
Yeah, and of course, we come to differing opinions strongly sometimes about things. Like, setting up here, you know, I'll say, okay, we're going to get the floor polished. And he's like, how much does that cost? And I'm like, it's $8,000. He's like, no, we don't need to spend $8,000 on the floor. And I'm like, no, we do, because the floor is so ugly. Do we want people to come in and say the floor is ugly? Or do we want people to come in and not notice that the floor is ugly or say the floor is nice? It's worth $8,000. So we had these arguments like that. So he would probably be better off if he wasn't with me financially, I must say, because I've probably spent a lot of his money. Yeah. Sorry,
Dom. Brought a lot of joy to his life and good flooring.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, flooring is important.
Well, for anyone else, though, who, I mean, maybe might not have the same sort of history that you guys have, but, you know, try and work together in business is so important. And you see some businesses fall apart because the people fall out.
Yeah.
So do you have any ways that you guys resolve things if it is a more serious disagreement?
So Jazz, who's our studio manager, she actually used to be our nanny when we had my nephew in our care for a while. And then, she's my 2IC. Like, she's amazing. So it's good to have a third person's opinion sometimes when two of you are differing, right? So her opinion is quite valuable to us as well. So if we're having that sort of disagreement or argument, we'd probably just call in Jazz and see what she sees in them, because we're both so open to other people's opinions, me and Dom. We will just listen to what she has to say and then consider, okay, who's in the right here? Who's in the wrong? What are we actually going to do? That's how we've worked it out so far, and that's how I think we will continue to do it.
I think as well, you're in such a new space in terms of people building businesses in the digital world and podcasting in general to monetize it. So new. What I'm picking up on is it sounds like you are prioritizing people you trust and then upskilling and figuring out the business side as you go along. Is that what you would say is priority?
And I know there'll be a lot of business people thinking that is a wacky way to go about it, because a lot of people who have been giving us advice are all about the money, right? You need to make the money, blah, 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 blah. And I understand that. And that's important, obviously, if you want to survive and grow. But it's not a priority to me and Dom at all. Like, we've always been people. Obviously, from the background we have, we always like to make people feel good and we like to help people.
Yeah.
So that's our number one. We want people to have a really good experience no matter what. And then for us, then it's worth the money and the money comes later. So that's how we're building our business. And, you know, like I say, a lot of people will think that's wacky and stupid.
I actually really agree. I actually think finding good humans who you can trust first and foremost is so key because everything changes all the time, whatever industry you're in. You're constantly expected to upskill. Finding someone, I mean, obviously skills is helpful.
Yes.
But most people can learn skills. Finding someone who knows how to work hard, whose opinions you trust, who is self-motivated, actually rarer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I've seen it so much over my years in radio that you've got people who are hard to deal with or shit at their jobs or whatever, and what they do affects what you do. So, you know, for me, it's really important that we have good people who we get along with and who are on the same page as us. It's on the same page.
Yes.
So we may have different personalities and you know, not be like the type of people to go out and have wine in the weekend or whatever. But that's not jazz. That men who definitely like having wines together. But, you know, like going forward, our staff, we just want to be able to work with them and show that we respect what they do mm-hmm. and they respect us. I've always felt like in radio, for example, management try and tell you what to do. And they say, don't say that on the radio and say this and do this. And I'm thinking, I'm the radio person here. I know the audience. I know how to connect with them. You don't. You've never done a radio show before. So why are you telling me what to do? Like, you should be respecting that this is my lane mm-hmm. and letting me up, you know, to a certain degree. Of course, I'm not going to break any rules or whatever, but letting me do what I do best. And if I'm failing at that, then pull me in. But so far, all you're trying to do is
the backseat driver.
Calm me down.
Yeah.
And I swear I'll never do that. I want people who work with us, I respect why they came here and why they're working with us. So, yeah, we don't want any of that BS.
Yeah. No, I'm so with you on that. Now, you talked before a bit about the financial side of it, that, you know, you're not breaking even yet. You're not in a huge rush to. You yeah. want to make this good first.
Yeah.
So agree with that. Of course, that is something that can happen when you're able to still keep a roof over your head, still yeah. pay your bills, right? Yeah. So you must have other investments and things. Am I right that you guys have investment properties?
We do have investment properties. No, we don't have investment properties. We have four properties.
Right.
I live in one. Dom lives in one. His mum lives in one. My mum lives in one.
Okay.
So we don't get any money from either of those properties. We are just spending money on those properties. Like body corps, rates, upkeep, renovations.
Are they mortgage free?
They are now mortgage free, yes. Because we the house that me and Dom had together through our marriage, we sold that. We were able to clear our mortgage. So that was amazing.
Yeah.
Like so good. And it's such a good position to be in. And, you know, you can do that from just, you buy a little house, like Dom's first house was $80,000, you know, live in it for a while, and you can sell it for $120,000, and then you buy something that's $150,000, and, you know, the housing ladder has worked well for us in that respect. But, yeah, we're not getting money from housing at all. The only money we get is from, well, Dom has his podcast sponsor, so, but, you know, it's minimal for the expense of his podcast. And the people he pays to put his podcast together. And I make some money on social media, but that's it at the minute. But we have enough to get by because we still have a little bit of our savings left. So we're not panicking.
Life looks different for everyone. Maybe you're buying your first home, growing your whānau, dreaming of travel, or simply trying to stay on top of things. KiwiBank has the tools to help you manage your money your way. Find out more at kiwibank.co.nz. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi.
So what do you think in terms of like how much roadway have you given yourself in terms of, is there a certain date by which you're going to have to be like, well, okay, we really need to start charging more now.
Yeah.
And how much sort of financial backing do you have, you know, in terms of investments, in terms of savings, in terms of keeping your costs low and being mortgage free is so important. You know, what's the strategy there? Talk me through it and how that's helped your business life, the personal finance side.
How long we can survive, you're saying, on this little plan.
Yeah. If there's a strategy there or if it's a little bit fly by the seat of the pants.
Yeah, like I said, we're not very educated in finances. We've had quite a few people give us some tips recently that I'm going to start implementing and taking on board. We can see the growth here already. So we know it's not going to take long before we're breaking even. We also know everyone keeps saying to us, a business takes about 2 years to break even or make a profit. So I feel like we're going to do it ahead of that.
Nice.
So if we got to 2 years, and we hadn't, I'll be very, very, very concerned and worried. Like, I guess if we got in the shit, we'd have to sell one of our apartments and one of us would have to go renting, you know? But yeah. I don't think it's going to come to that.
Mum's not getting kicked out?
No. But, you know, I definitely couldn't do that because then I'd have to rehouse her.
Yeah.
So what's the point? And I'm not letting her live with me.
Yeah. That's a lot. As soon as you live with a parent again, you're suddenly 15 and all of your mannerisms, you can't fight it, so you can't live.
Really? Have you done that recently?
Oh, in my current house, we built.
Yeah.
So there was a small overlap of time where we'd sold our other house. Our house was nearly finished, but it wasn't quite yet. We moved in with my mum and stepdad, bless them. Me, my husband, and our, at the time, two-year-old. Like, God bless those people. We had to do that for about 6 weeks. And I think by the end of it, we were all still friends.
Good.
All still good. But I think we were all very happy that it was 6 weeks.
Wow.
Except the two-year-old, he loved it.
Oh, I bet he did. I bet your parents were like, you guys can go, but leave the kid here.
Yeah. This guy's fine. You guys annoying.
Yeah, wow, 6 weeks. And you know, so many people do that for longer.
I know.
And I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Some people are better people than me. Like, that's all it is. Yeah. I just find I revert to a teenager. Like, I'm snippy. I'm awful again. I do put my dishes away now. So, you know.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, I hope that never comes to happen that I have to live with my mum again. Not that, mum, love you, but, you know.
Love you, but within certain boundaries.
Yeah.
It's good that we have our spaces.
Yeah.
When you say you've talked to people for a bit of advice on that front, where have you gone for good advice? Because I think everyone has an opinion and so few of them are good. Where did you go to find good advice and did you have to sift through a bit?
Yeah, no, actually just a couple of my friends who own their own businesses and have been through the struggle. And had good times as well. And they're just smart. Like one of my friends is on the board of lots of places as well. So she knows a lot about money and making sense. So I'm going to talk to her a little bit more because now it's time for me and Dom to start getting serious. So we've had this idea to just build this thing and see, and kind of in a way, see where it goes because we were lucky we had the money to be able to invest in it. Yeah. So if we didn't have the money, this would be a whole different story. Like we are going to be, building a second studio in a couple of weeks. And in order to do that, we have to move the control room out of that studio and into the lounge. That is costing quite a bit of money. And I went to apply for a loan, but they won't give it to us because we are so new in business, right? So we literally...
Which is when you need the help, my God.
Yeah. I know. It doesn't make sense. But. So we are lucky that we can fund this at the moment. We're lucky. But like I say, we're running out of the money. So we're just going to focus more on our creative services and making podcasts for companies. So I think we're fine. We've got all that planned out about how we're going to start getting in the business. But up till this point, we have really been just let's see where the need is. They want a bit of coaching. They want some advice. They want some support. They want, especially the independent podcasters, can you listen to my podcast and tell me, like, give me some tips and things like that? So helping them. And then businesses come in and some businesses are fine. They'll just come and rent the studio and record their stuff and go. But others kind of want us to help a little bit with a bit of guidance on whether their ideas are right and whether their, you know, their guests are good and blah, blah, blah. How do they market it? And so, yeah, I can see us turning into a fully fledged big machine. I'm going to have to hire some more staff.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it's overwhelming.
Yeah, well, it's a lot to manage, right? And when you're trying to get into that business mindset, I mean, I very deliberately with what I've done with my business is I've kept it very digital deliberately at first to try and keep my costs low, right? My biggest costs are people.
Yeah.
I have my wonderful video editor, my wonderful audio engineer, getting someone else coming on part-time soon. Like, that's really exciting. So my biggest costs are those people because I'm certainly not going to want to rip anyone off who I'm working with. But in terms of the physical costs, I don't really have inventory.
Mm.
I'm working out of a converted room in my house. That's my studio. And that does keep my costs very low. Whereas you're a bit more of a hybrid. Like, obviously, you're very much in the digital space working in podcasts, but you have this physical, beautiful studio space.
Yeah.
And you've got all of this gorgeous equipment. I mean, these mics and these cameras, they're lovely. I'm sure they weren't cheap.
No. I'll bum, though. They can follow you around the room, you know, and they can zoom in and do over the shoulder shots. And we don't even know this is happening.
Love this. Love this. So that's gorgeous, but it is expensive, right? So how do you balance, and was there sort of thought ahead of time of how much the business was going to cost you and how strategic you were on that, balancing that.
I don't think we expected it to cost as much as it has cost, to be fair. And we have probably gone a little bit over the top in terms of, you know, most people would probably say, make money here first before you spend all the money on the second studio. But for me, I'm like, if you build it, they will come. So for me, I'm thinking of it as it's a big expense, but it's an investment in the future, in the business. So I'm hoping that, like, when we do the second studio, for example, that will be the last big expense we have for a while. So we didn't really sit down and map it out or anything. We just assume, okay, it's going to cost, you know, $100,000 to do this and $50,000 to do that or whatever. Have we got the money to cover it for now until we make the money? And that's been our way of working it out. Yes, okay, cool, we can do it. Let's do it. And we'll just see what happens.
We're going.
Oh my gosh, it is happening.
Full tilt, plan A.
Yeah, oh my God. If anyone wants to give me some real free advice, I feel like they're going to come to me after this because they're going to say, look, you're doing this all wrong.
You're going to get all these business coaches in your DMs like, oh, babe, please let me help you.
But, you know, in some ways, I don't want to do it like everyone else. That's the other thing. Like my relationship with Dom, we don't do it like everyone else. I like to do things the way that I feel is the right way to do it. Yeah. And it's from my own experience and my own gut feeling rather than what's the proper way to do these things. And yeah, I don't know, just watch and see. You never know. If this turns out to be really good, maybe I can start giving business advice to people.
Well, do you know what, though? I've always said my gut feeling is the most important thing in my career and now business life.
Yeah.
Where any time I've got myself into hot water or it's not gone right, I had a gut feeling first and I ignored it. And every single time, it drives me nuts. And I'll look back and I'm like, you knew this was coming, Frances. How important do you think that gut feeling, even if you can't put it down to, I'm not sure why I'm feeling this is the direction, but I feel like it is. How important do you think that is for your business life?
That's crucial. Yeah. You're the only one who knows your business. You're the only one who knows you. You're the only one who knows how capable you are. You know, it's easy for other people to think they know from an outsider's perspective, but that's why you're the only one. You can get advice from other people, but they don't know. They don't really know everything that's going on. So you have to trust your own gut first.
It's like going from employee mindset to CEO mindset. Like at the end of the day, it is your job to make that call, even when there might be lots of people in your ear, right?
Yeah. Am I the CEO?
You're the CEO.
Wow. Well, hang on. I have a theory on this, and so we're going to test it on you.
Ooh, yeah.
That every couple, even if you're separated now, has a CEO and a COO. There's the person who makes the decisions, and then there's the person who has to carry it out, make it happen, make it a reality. Which one's which?
Oh, that's hard. Oh, I'd like Dom's opinion on this. So I'm gonna say.
Does that mean you're not the CEO?
I think I am the CEO.
Hey, back it.
But I just, but I also do lots of the COO.
Your books.
Was he CFO?
Oh no, because no, he's not allowed to be in charge of the finances because then I won't be allowed to spend the money. So,
populate your C-suite for me. You tell me which one you are.
God, I guess I am the CEO. Dom. He's the CCO, the Chief Creative Officer.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, give me an example of you both in your roles, CEO and CCO.
Okay, well, I'm just sitting there telling everyone what to do. And then, yeah, you're right. And Dom goes off and does it. Thank you, Dom. You're amazing.
There you go.
Yeah, he's definitely, Dom is such a creative person. You can tell him you need an idea for something and he will just come up with it right then on the spot. And you'll be like, what the hell? Where did that come from? How does your mind think like that? Yeah. Whereas for me, sometimes I have to go, okay, I need an idea of something and I need to think about it for a while. I'm like, come back to me later and I'll have your idea. I'll have the idea, but I need to think about it. But he's just like, no, do this. I'm just like, man, it was good.
Flip side, actually, of some of the questions I asked you about how well you guys work together.
Yeah.
Do you ever get sick of people's fascination with your relationship? Because, like, I looked you up, obviously, prepping for this.
Yeah.
And I think every single article I looked up was somewhat focused on you two still talking to each other and being nice to each other, which is great. Don't get me wrong. But do you ever be like,
God, I'm doing so many other interesting things. So that would drive you nuts.
Yeah, especially if you ever see any articles, that's usually written by the news network. So we're always looking for a salacious or negative angle. And they don't often write positive stories about us. For a while there, I was kind of tired of being in the Dom and JJ box. Mm-hmm. But I don't care anymore. I accept it. Mm-hmm. Just, it is what it is. And, you know, I think, like, we inspire a lot of people. A lot of couples as well, when they break up, they say, oh, I really want to be like you and Dom, you know, and get along with my ex, because it's way better to get along with your ex than not to. I know people are fascinated by their relationship. I'm fascinated by my new relationship too. I'm dating a guy from overseas. But I don't know, if things aren't normal and run of the mill, there is like a massive fascination with it, isn't there? It's like, how does that work? Surely that doesn't work. I don't really think about it too much, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay, on that then, when you say that people are saying they really want to have a good, healthy relationship,
yeah,
do you have any tips for that? Was there anything that helped you guys, particularly as you transitioned into this new mode, business partners?
Yeah, I think you just have to be on the same page and have a respect for the other person. So I see in lots of relationships that don't work out, it's because one person might be stubborn and just wants the other person to hurt. And so that makes that it's going to be very hard to get past that. So you basically have to both just accept your role, your responsibility, and the reason for the breakup or the, you know, the dispersion of the relationship. You've got a responsibility too. It's not just all them. You can't just blame them for everything. You've got to look at what you did as well. And I think once you can both look at that, both understand your role that you played, and both decide that you want to be amicable and work this out, then you can do it. But you have to both be on the same page. So that's why it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember reading something somewhere that, like, the biggest death knell for a relationship, like it was some sort of relationship counselor where they were like, the ones who come in where you can tell that someone has like deep disrespect for the other partner, those can't be saved. Whereas you can save almost any other relationship in some form, whether it's continues to be romantic or not. And I just thought that was so interesting. That's something I've always watched for.
I agree with it.
It's important, hey?
Yeah. Respect is so huge, as well as communication. But I must say, being in the career of communication, I'm not so great at communicating my feelings or thoughts around in a relationship.
Those ones are hard.
But yeah, I will admit that I'm not that good. I guess I just... so weird. I can be so vulnerable on the radio or online, but then to my actual partner, it's hard for me to do that.
Well, it's funny, though, because like when I'm talking into a microphone, I mean, this is like how I first got myself comfortable on radio.
Yeah.
I started on student radio and I'd tell myself, well, probably no one's listening. Right. And then I just kind of continued that thought process as the audience got bigger and bigger. I was like, probably no one's listening. And so I find it very easy to talk onto a microphone about all sorts of things that I probably should not.
Yeah.
Whereas talking to someone face to face, there's very clearly someone there. And I find that way harder.
Yeah, I guess so, eh? Because you see this other person, they can judge you. I mean, like, the people that are listening to you now are probably judging you in some ways, but we don't see them looking back at us.
What do they reckon? 10% of any audience is listening because they don't like you? Well, I can't see you anyway, so.
10% of the world doesn't like you. Like, we all have people who don't like us. Not everyone's going to like us. They don't understand us fully. And, like, who cares? I don't like everyone. You don't like everyone. Exactly. Like, you know, we just have to get along where we can.
No, I'm lovely. I like everyone.
You don't? What about your former boy?
Yes, you cannot say anything for reasons.
Yes, okay, you can't say if you like or dislike your former boss. I understand that.
I've got to say, look, there's been, in podcasting in general, right? Yeah. I feel like there's been a bit of a gold rush.
Right.
Where a lot of people do suddenly see, you know, people like Dom killing it.
Right.
And he got, what was it, Podcaster of the Year last year?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And people look at that and think, oh, he made the transition.
Right.
Maybe I could give it a crack. And you see a lot of people come into podcasting like, it's going to be great. Do you think there can be a point at which it gets oversaturated? Is that something that you're looking at in your business strategy? Or do you think, you know, we're still just at the beginning?
Oh my God, we are so at the beginning. Like, how many podcasts at Made in New Zealand can you actually name?
Yeah, so true.
There's not too many. really big ones. And even in the world, like, you know, there's so many podcasts, but you can't name them all. You can't name, you know, you can probably only name a handful of them. The other night I said this at this marketing thing. I get so annoyed when people say that the podcast market is saturated. It's like, there are how many billions of songs are there? Do you think Ed Sheeran's going to stop putting out music because there's too many songs to listen to already? No. You've got to put your content out there. There's a different audience for everything. And there's room for everyone and everything. Like, how many TikTok accounts are you scrolling through? Like, do you, I don't want to see another TikTok post in my life. That's a lie. You're going to go on there tomorrow and want to see something new, don't you? So, and Netflix. Oh, damn, I've watched everything. Wait till Friday when the new shows come out. Oh, good, something new. We want something new all the time. There's plenty of room. It's not saturated, and we are way behind in New Zealand, and there's so much more room for growth, and there's so much more room for good talent because, you know, anyone can get on a mic and talk, but we need some good storytellers, people who are willing to commit to the podcast like it's a business and really grow it and put effort in and plan it and make it good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're like, there's not enough comedy podcasts in New Zealand. There's not enough true crime podcasts, and that's the number one genre in the world. Everyone loves true crime, so let's make some more true crime podcasts. You know, let's make comedy ones. Let's not make any more financial ones.
Yeah, because we want the only financial podcast you need. Just listen to me on repeat.
Yeah, yeah. Frances Cook, she's the one. Go back and listen to all her previous episodes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, if you were to go back and talk to yourself at the beginning of this new business life.
Yeah.
What would your advice to your past self be?
Right. Well, that was only in October. So I would probably say charge more for what you're doing, because what we actually do and put out there is worth more than we're currently charging. And it's really hard to put your prices up. That's what I would say in terms of that. Otherwise, I'm actually quite happy with the way things are going. Like, there's just me, Dom, and Jazz, really, and this other guy, Jackson, who works for us part-time at the moment. We're a small team, and we didn't want to go in and just overwhelm ourselves. We've been wanting to sort of just go in gently, you know, like we're walking gently into the ocean until we get up to our necks. And we're starting to get up to our necks now. We're thinking, okay, it's more than three people can handle. It's starting to get to that point. But we've been happy with the pace of things. It hasn't been too busy. It's getting a bit busier now, and we're finding it a little bit hard to juggle or quite a few things at once. But I wouldn't change anything else other than try and figure out what the costings are early on. And you've got to put a value on your time. And that's how much time it takes for us to create something is actually – it's hard to say, oh, that's going to take me 5 hours to do that or 10 hours to do that. So it's, you know, $100 an hour. It's hard to do that because it doesn't take that long. It can take longer or it can take shorter. It's just such a tricky one, which I'm going to struggle with for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's not necessarily a blueprint.
Costing of things, it does my head in, to be honest.
It's so hard when you're in a new space. It's so hard. Yeah. And you just kind of have to make it up on the fly.
That's exactly it. That's it. We're making it up. OMG.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Wish me luck.
It's fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. Right. We're going to like schedule into the calendar, like check in a couple of years and hear how you're killing it. And you're now like charging mega bucks. It's going to be brilliant. And we'll come in and this will be one of like five studios now. It'll be amazing.
That'd be amazing. Like, if we're making mega bucks, the prices will come down because I'm all about giving people the best that they can get for as little as possible, like the best price as well. But I'm not here to rip people off at all.
Yeah.
Money's not the thing that drives me. Yeah. So.
What drives you?
Love.
Oh.
Love. No, making people happy.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, it's just the best compliment when someone comes in here and records their podcast and then like we get an email afterwards and they say, oh my God, you guys, that was the best experience. Thank you for helping me. And we love Jazz so much and, you know, like talking about how much she's meant to them and helped them and stuff. That means more to me than anything. I think it's what you were saying when I heard you talking on another podcast, when you said that your proudest moment as a podcaster is some of the feedback you get from your listeners who have said that, you know, something you said or you taught them on your podcast made them change something or helped them with something.
Got into their first homes, started investing. It's amazing.
Yeah, and that's the same for me. That's what makes me happy. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. Well, how lucky are we that we get to do this for a job?
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on. That's JJ Feeney, of course. And don't forget, if this podcast was helpful for you, first of all, hit subscribe. Secondly, send it to a friend so we can learn more about money together. And we can keep getting on great people like JJ to tell us about their business experiences. Until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go, this podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.